Destroy! 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 Company! Destroy! 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 Company! Prosperity! Destroy! Company! Prosperity! Destroy! Company! Destroy! Destroy! Destroy Company! Prosperity! Destroy Company!
Welcome to another week of Ross Purdy Destroys Comedy. All the best podcasts have the person's name in the title. Joe Rogan Experience. Joe Rogan Experience. Mark Maron has a thing, but it's not Joe Rogan Experience. And today my guests have names.
Hello.
The two little dickheads.
The heads. They have heads. Is that the shtick?
Yeah.
We've several. Got heads.
Yeah, have heads.
Two of them.
Yep, and they're little.
Yeah. That's type of joke I don't do on this podcast. It's a classy affair.
Classy affair. Ross Purdy does a classy affair. I love it.
That's not the name of the podcast. I did announce at the beginning that it was called Ross Purdy Destroys Comedy.
Destroys Comedy with classy jokes.
Yeah.
No, it's Ross Purdy Destroys Comedy, not Ross Purdy Destroys Comedy with Classy Jokes. I'm feeling like you two aren't listening.
The best podcasts always change the name of the podcast during the podcast.
Yes, that's what my experience is.
The Joe Rogan Experience with guest this week.
Really? When did that happen?
I don't listen.
I thought I was a big Rogan head.
I always do
MMA. While doing DMTs.
ENTs? Have you been to an ENT?
Ear, nose, and throat?
Yeah.
Yeah, usually after I do the MMA, I fuck up my ears and nose.
I like to dance till my eardrums burst.
That sounds incredibly unhealthy.
I've been many trips to the ENT.
Too many trips. But a little heads, it's Dove Tack.
Dove Tack,
Schwama, Nougat. Is that your names?
Oh, that's our names.
Dove Tack, I love that.
Is that the names?
Dove Tack
and Schwama Nougat.
Love it. That's our names now.
That is it.
I feel like you're laughing as if to say, no, Ross, that's not our names at all.
Well, my name is a continuum of changes. Dave's is David Teague.
I've been bored with my name for a while now, and I've been looking for a change.
Yeah, so Dove Tech is
Dove
good.
Dove Tech.
Right. David, continuum of changes. let's deep dive into this. You did the comedy groups and you do the things together, you do the things apart, you do all sorts of stuff. Let's deep dive separately. How did you get started?
In comedy?
Yeah.
In comedy. Ooh, long story. Well, how far back should I go from childhood?
Go to the very
childbirth.
Had the classic terrible childhood that leads to a career in comedy. And my path in was... I was a writer first, and then I thought my writing was funny, and then I looked at how other people that wrote funny books got people to read them, and most of them were stand-up comics, so I thought maybe I need to perform at some point too, and I took an improv class once and loved it and got obsessed with it, and that's the short journey.
Now, when you say obsessed, are you saying like Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction obsessed?
Absolutely.
Like improv is like Michael Douglas and you just get way too into it.
More like that Michael Douglas one with Demi Moore, where Demi Moore forces herself upon Michael Douglas and nobody believes him because he's a man. Has everyone seen that one?
No. Or if I did, it's buried deep in my childhood.
And one of the stars.
We'll unpack that later.
I'm just remembering. One of the stars is that houseboy from the OJ trial.
Cato Kaelin.
Cato Kaelin's in it. It's Cato Kaelin and Demi Moore and Michael Douglas, flipping the rape agenda.
Flipping in the rape narrative?
Narrative in movie form in the 90s.
Wow.
And quite a powerful movie. Really has nothing to do with my comedy career.
Well, you would hope so, at least.
It was a reminder, you know, of how to get into the films is if you do what Cato did, just to hang around some bad people and hope you get on a trial at some point.
Maybe or maybe not witness something.
Yeah,
get your face out there.
Just be adjacent.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a crime of the century, if you can be adjacent to it, it's a good way into the film business.
Good to know. I'm just going to write this down right now.
It's crucial stuff.
Yes, I got obsessed with improv, like really obsessed. Like I, as soon as, within like 2 months of taking my first course, I moved to New York to do it full time and then to LA. And I pretty much did nothing but improv and things to facilitate my improv for five, six, 7 years.
It's like an improv junkie, it sounds like. Things to facilitate my improv.
Like. Yeah, totally. Like I amended the rest of my life to make improv happen.
Damn. See, kids, improv kills. Don't do it.
No, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't be like Dove over here.
Yes. No, do it. It's great. It's fun. It'll never lead to any employment opportunities. It'll never lead to any financial opportunities. And you'll perform in front of 3 people many, many times, but it's fun. Improv hot tip.
The Michael Douglas movie my improv experience was like was the one where he went down on his wife and then complained that it gave him throat cancer.
That was a good one. That's just Michael Douglas's real life.
But he sees it as a movie.
But was it his real wife?
Yeah, it was his real wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones. They're still together. Everyone thought that...
Michael Douglas has throat cancer?
He survived it.
He got it and he blamed it on...
Cunnilingus?
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck.
Now, I think that's just an excuse.
Oh, Dave, I think we should test it out.
Well, I have had some serious throat issues in the last few years.
It wasn't my fault.
It was being blamed on acid reflux, but maybe I need to go see my ear, nose and throat doctor and...
ENT, that's what I said.
Yeah, it all comes back to ENT.
It always comes back to the ENT.
You hear that, kids? Female pleasure kills.
I don't know if I endorse that.
Well, they do call it the little death.
That's you after you've come, yeah.
That's only the man?
Yeah.
The woman has the little death, and then the man has the long, painful hole in the throat.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's on Wikipedia right now.
Praying mantises do a cool thing too.
They eat the...
Yeah, fuck them and then they eat them. Yeah.
Fuck them and eat them.
Yeah.
Now that is just a good time saver. Who wants to talk about the definitions of a relationship? You know, they meet up. There's humans will go, what is this?
I saw an animal expert on a American talk show recently talking about an Australian marsupial that the species... every year, the male ones put so much effort into impregnating the lady ones that every single male in the population dies every year.
What? Which marsupial is this? I zoned out a bit.
Some kind of rat-like marsupial in Australia.
Oh, a rat?
Rat-likey kangaroo-y thing. Like a little kangaroo.
Oh, yeah.
And every single male dies in the species every year. But they breed enough so that the next generation come through.
That's pretty brutal.
It's pretty brutal.
Wow. Okay. Well, hold on again. Can you say that again? I really Twilight zoned out a bit. You know, a gremlin was tearing apart the airplane wing of my mind.
Yeah, it's a species where every male dies every year in the act of impregnating the ladies.
Oh, in the act.
Yeah,
You didn't punctuate that before, Dave. I didn't really quite understand the relevance.
It put so much effort into getting the deed done.
So much effort into his lovemaking.
Yeah. Or finding a mate.
Maybe that's your totem.
I'll take it. Dove tack.
Dove tack.
Mate.
Dove.
And Shanama Nugar.
Continuum of... changes?
Fucking until we die.
Is that?
Fucking until we die. I believe we will, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the motto of Two Little Dickheads. We'll fuck each other until we die.
I think it is.
We're not married, but it's as close
awful.
As.
Sounds
it is
awful.
The calling card of most successful comedy duos.
Oh, yeah, Laurel and Hardy.
Yep.
Yeah, which was
Hardy wasn't Hardy for no reason, if you know what it means.
Exactly what you mean.
It was a real hard ass to Laurel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
He did that elephant movie.
Yeah.
It was betrayal.
It was betrayal.
It took years off his life.
It did.
Yeah, let's not talk about the elephant movie.
Nobody talk about the elephant movie. God damn it, I swear to God, if you talk about that elephant movie, I'm gonna cut you in the face.
That's sort of what I feel like right now. Like, just some melodramatic kind of 1940s-ish New York gangster.
That's what you feel like?
Yeah.
Is that who you are, Ross? I want to know who Ross Purdy is. I feel like you're asking me who I am, but I don't know who you are.
There's your deep cut, deep dive.
Yeah.
Oh, man, no one cares about this. No one cares about all this over here.
If you were a time traveler, would you time travel to being a 1940s gangster?
No.
And why 1940s? Because the 30s was prohibition. That's where the real money was.
It's giving me something to think about.
Really? If you're going to time travel into gangster, you want to be in the key gangster periods, right?
I suppose. Would you be Al Capone or would you just be one of his doozies?
I'd just go back, be Al Capone and pay your taxes and you'd be thriving.
Well, Al Capone is Al Capone. You're yourself. So
you
what? You...
Oh, okay. So you get to
time
be yourself
travel,
when
you
time travel.
Time travel into someone else. Mm. So it's not Quantum Leap.
Not quite Quantum Leap. You will, unlike Scott Bakula, you will have a career afterwards.
Hey, Scott Bakula was in an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 12, and I enjoyed his performance.
Yes.
You know who else was in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 12? Some UFC fighters.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
And their careers
are spectacular.
No, that's
true. When they had the fight milk. The
I watched some recently, actually, so it's in my head.
Was that the one where they started drinking their alcoholic
oh,
milk?
Oh, the protein
to
milk
make
stuff.
Them
made
puke.
Them. Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the body fluids.
Yeah. The,
yes.
Yeah.
That
oh, yeah.
works, you know.
That's a good episode.
I got inspired by it, so I grabbed a crow, I put it in a blender, I drank crow. What ended up happening was I became what I ate, so I started becoming crow, and it was no good.
Oh, wow. Have you watched The Crow?
Yeah, much like The Crow, I thought I was giving a prop gun, but the prop gun had a real bullet in it, and I ended up shooting myself.
Oh, it's a shame. It's a real shame when that happens.
So if you want to know who I am... I is crow. I shoot self.
Which Always Sunny in Philadelphia character do you think you are, Ross?
Oh, well, clearly, I am the lawyer.
The lawyer?
The lawyer.
The little hand lawyer.
The little hand lawyer or the big hand lawyer?
I thought for sure you were going to say Charlie.
No. That's too predictable. I'm the lawyer guy. And that's not Charlie's uncle. The other guy.
That's annoyed by
all of them.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a good lawyer. There's not enough. Everyone used to say, which Sex and the City character are you? No one does which Always Sunny character are you?
Because they're all horrible people and no one wants to admit their flaws.
No, but we should do it to other people. We should thrust horrible people archetypes upon them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who are you?
I'm Charlie.
You're Charlie. You think you're Charlie. Oh,
wouldn't go around walking around certain areas of Vietnam saying you're Charlie, mate.
No.
You know what I mean?
I personally think I'm Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
Not Danny DeVito. Whoa.
What about the McPoyles?
Oh, gross. No, I'm probably the waitress. In all seriousness, I'm probably the waitress. She's got... bit of a love addiction problem.
Right. And the actors who play the waitress and Charlie
are together in real life.
Exactly.
See what I did there?
Yes.
Yes.
Fucking until we die.
I've met the waitress. She's lovely.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Did you tell her she owes me $5?
I will. Next time I see her.
She forgot my almond in my almond mocha.
I don't think she's working there anymore.
I don't think she's a real waitress.
What?
But she does owe you that almond.
Because
she promised.
She did.
She promised.
She did promise an almond.
Let's deep dive into this almond of juiciness. All right. Dove went to New York, LA, continuum of changes. How did your comedy career start?
Well, I touched on it when I was at uni. I always knew I wanted to be a performer, the bland answer. You know, one of those people that always knows they want to do that stuff. And I touched on it in uni when I was doing serious theatre stuff. But, I mean, all my teachers always were trying to push me into comedy roles and I just thought it was pretty lowbrow. So, because I wanted to be a serious actor. And then I quit all of it because I hated myself as a serious actor and moved to London, ran away from my fiancé of the time because he was a dick. And
Not a dickhead.
No. Just a pure dick. And so I left him, went to London, and got back, knew I wanted to get into the industry, thought I wanted to be a producer, and was watching a stand-up comedian's show multiple times because I was selling that show at Edinburgh, like running a street team. And I realised watching his show upward of 7 to 10 times due to the fact that I needed to have bums on seats when special people were in, I realised he changed his show around every day. He was always working on it differently, that he was always throwing in new bits. And he was so in the moment and crafting it that I realised comedy had so much more craft than I ever gave it credit for. And it was so much more authentic and in the moment than any of the bullshit theatre I felt like I'd been a part of. And the thing that I hated about theatre and how kind of how you were meant to be an actor, but all you were doing was acting. There was never really any truth to it. And I was like, fuck, comedy's actually really awesome. And so then I started following that. And at first I was like, oh, I'm just going to run a comedy night in London. And I did that for a while. But I'd always put myself on the bill. But as the producer, like I was in denial that I was in any way performing comedy. But I would always manage to give myself a 20-minute set, living vicariously through comedians. And then it just grew and grew. And then I found clowning, got obsessed with clowning, much like Dave. Did everything clown for years and years and years through Dr. Brown and met various people in London. And I'm still obsessed with clowning, but now for a long time I considered myself a clown because it's like a bridge between theatre and comedy. But now after working with Dave, he's really opened my eyes up to other parts of comedy that I'd kind of like felt like wasn't me, maybe because of my gender. I felt like I couldn't prescribe to that kind of comedy. It felt like such a male domain thing. But all that's been getting smashed so much lately that I'm like, no, I'm a comedian. Just because I can't write, set up in a punchline and do a tight five like Jerry Seinfeld. But I'm getting closer to the point where I'd probably give that a go anyway. So, yeah, that's elegantly put. Best I've ever said it.
Set up some punchlines overrated, don't worry.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Brown the clown guy that people are scared that incels are going to shoot up a place because of?
I don't think so. No. I think there's two Dr. Browns on the scene, and I'm hoping you're thinking of the other one because I don't know any of those words and how they connect to my Dr. Brown.
Right.
I say my loosely.
Clowns are scary.
Yeah, well, clowns, this is the myth, yeah.
This is, yes.
Clowns are scary.
Clowns and clowning are kind of two different things.
Yeah. The art of clowning is different to, like, it.
Really? Because I was watching it and I was like, this guy is so committed to the bit. He's dragging out staying in that sewer for so long.
Stayed down there so long he never even got the job done.
Murdering those kids, I'm like,
terrible at it.
Completely immoral and against the law, but fucking great entertainment.
Good entertainment. Good. Sure. But the last one I hated, that movie, that new It. It was terrible.
Chapter
2? Yeah, is that
what? No, the original. There's a new It.
Yeah.
No, but we saw the It one before the new It.
Oh, I didn't like that.
We're one It behind.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother with the next big It.
You're not going to see It Chapter
2? No, I think it's It.
Because
before I've even seen it.
Because it's called It Chapter 2, so it's like a book. And books is better than films, is what I'm told.
Right.
Well, whether they cover the bits in the book that they didn't cover in the first It,
Yes, the first hit left, you know, just left me a little bit. I wasn't creeped out by it at all. It didn't get me my heart beating and didn't make me sweat. I just found it quite laughable.
Really? I was so scared.
Were you?
I was so scared when it went dark and those names came up.
Oh.
But like, I don't know that person. I don't know that person.
Were you at the IMAX like me? The letters and the font was really screaming out at you.
Really? And I was wearing 3D glasses.
Oh.
And the film wasn't even done in 3D, so everything just kind of looked like red and blue cellophane. Really screwed up.
Did you know cellophane can be biodegradable?
Yes.
Wow. Learning all the great Enviro tips. See, this is why I brought you two on, because I want to know about the environment, how to save it.
It's all cellophane.
Yeah, just cellophane.
All cellophane.
We shower in cellophane to save water. We eat cellophane to save meat.
Mm-hmm.
We drive cellophane.
Yeah, we fly cellophane. That's how we got to Edinburgh, a cellophane hang glider.
Oh, that's good to know. Thank you, cellophane.
Thank you, cellophane.
Please sponsor the show. So how did the collaboration happen? The two little dickheads.
The two little dickheads.
How did two worlds collide comedically?
They happened in a dusty garage. Dusty garage in Western Sydney, where an old fart was putting on a fringe show and wanted an improv friend
and a clown friend
to come and give him some tips.
Yeah, so it was just me and Dave watching an old fart in a garage.
And that's just nothing.
That's nothing. And then, we met, and then a few months later...
Bumped into each other.
And then we started performing together, and we sucked.
We were terrible.
At first, because we had very different comedic languages, and were trying very different things.
Yeah, improv and clown have some really great overlaps, but they also have certain rules that stop you from, unless you know each other's rules, you completely fuck each other over by accident. You don't play very well. So we realized after gigging quite a lot and being quite terrible that we needed to learn each other's craft, and then we created our own language and looked at the overlaps of the two forms. And the biggest thing that was really hard at first is that within improv, you always connect with your partner and that's where all your answers are, whereas in clown, you connect with the audience. And if the audience don't like something, you drop it, whereas in improv, you stay with the unusual thing, as you know, Ross, and you blow it up more and more and more. So Dave was trying to blow up the thing that wasn't working and I was trying to drop it, and I would just be furious at him for sticking with these terrible moments that I thought we should leave behind. Quite an answer of discourse.
Right. So you invented a new language.
Yeah.
Can I get a peek into this language?
Sorry?
Talk in this language right now.
Dave, do this.
Do this?
Yeah, can you do it?
Can I do this?
Yeah.
This.
Dave, stop it. not in front of Ross. Oh my God.
This is very much the English language, not a brand new language I was expecting.
Well, it's a physical language of rule. It's a new language of rules.
Physical language? Mm-hmm. What's the point?
The point is fantastic comedy, yes.
Yes.
It's
finding laughs where laughs had not been found previously.
Mm-hmm.
The treasure chest?
So it's a full treasure chest. Yeah. Yes.
I'd rather get treasure than comedy. I will be honest.
Well, comedy pays the big money eventually.
Yes, yes. That's why we're in it. We obviously want to be really, really rich.
I am very much rich. I am so rich right now.
We can see. I mean, right. You are dapper.
This is
pimping out.
Yep.
You're working for Stark Industries.
Rich like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. Rich and friends.
Rich, that's the real richness.
Yes.
Rich in ideas.
No, but rich in... no ideas. Listen to the previous episodes of this podcast. I have no ideas, clearly. I'm just leeching off my guests, pretty much. And that's who I am.
That's the deep dive of Ross.
Wow, Ross.
I'm one of those leeches doctors put on patients back in the old times to suck the blood out.
I would say you're actually the psychopath of It's Always Sunny. Good-looking brother.
Yeah.
What's his name? Yeah, Jesus. Not D.
Dennis.
Not Mac. Dennis.
The Dennis system.
You're Dennis.
Do you use the Dennis
system? Do you realize that you are Dennis?
I am not Dennis.
Your How abs dare you? Say differently.
Yeah, Ross, you are Dennis.
How dare you? I am not.
What about Artemis? You could be Artemis.
Yeah.
The cat?
No.
The cat, baby. I'm cat.
The lady, cat the girl man. Turns herself into a cat?
Artemis to me is a cat from something. Don't know what. If anyone can ring in now and tell me who... Artemis is a cat on some show somewhere. Don't know where.
What's the cat?
Bling, 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 bling.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sir, I didn't realise this was a call-in show.
Yeah, no, but
it is.
Benny said call-in, so I thought I would call in.
Yeah, great.
So Artemis the cat you're thinking of.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of my cat.
Oh, your cat.
My cat's Artemis.
Your cat.
Artemis?
Are you on a show? Are you famous? Am I talking to someone famous?
Are you famous? No.
This is a famous person.
I very recently listened to the Kanye West song Famous, if that counts.
That counts. I assume that's how it works with Kanye West.
Apparently it does.
He's so famous that you listen to him, you become famous.
Yeah, you Kanye be famous.
Oh.
All right, well, we've got to go now. Thanks, Artemis cat owner.
I got another thing to say.
Ping.
I didn't like that guy at all. You saw me go quiet during that.
He didn't even say whether or not he was how long he'd been listening for or how long he'd been calling in for.
I don't know. There's not even a phone in this studio.
Wow, that's quite an extraordinary...
modern technology. We're all just going to be phones.
You only need a watch these days.
Maybe that's it. I have a watch and I'm looking at my arm and I'm looking at my other arm and no, I have no watches.
You don't even have a watch.
No. No.
It shows.
It does show. Time is irrelevant. It's just a thing created by man, Ross, and you are the epitome of time being irrelevant.
Yes. But Time magazine is very relevant.
Is it though?
And I want to say about Time magazine... And I fucking love that Morris Day went and made that magazine.
It's a good magazine. Yeah. Who's your Time Person of the Year?
I gotta say Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler. I reckon it's probably time for Dirk Diggler to come back.
Personally, I think Heather Locklear needs a run.
Heather Locklear?
Yeah, maybe.
I think she's in a psych hospital at the moment.
What? For real?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sending love out to you, Heather Locklear. Hope she gets better soon.
I read that recently.
Yeah. I hope Heather Graham's doing better.
Oh, Heather Graham, yeah. Heather Graham on Time magazine would be fun addition. I'd buy that.
I think Roller Girl could have got the Time Person of the Year.
I was actually trying to think of Roller Girl the other day for the first time in ages, so it's very bizarre that you bring it up, Ross.
I know. I have bugs everywhere.
Yeah.
I just have everywhere bugged.
Yeah. That's spooky. You little spook.
You got to stay in touch.
I don't appreciate being called a spook. You look that up online, you see what that means.
No.
What? No.
Really? Is spook a weird thing?
You're cancelled.
You get cancelled if you call someone a spook?
You get cancelled if you call someone a spook? Or what does spook, or are you saying spook means that you get cancelled?
Well, you keep saying it, quite frankly.
I have to Google this. I'm looking on my phone.
This could be dangerous.
Oh, no. Oh. Yeah,
While she's Googling that, let's talk your comedy history, Dove.
Yes.
So, you did a solo show recently. What would Bill Murray do?
Oh, I did.
I heard the original working title was What Would Bill Murray Do? Probably pop up at a random stranger's wedding. Kind of sad, isn't it? But... was marketable.
It was just there's too many words for a poster, and if it doesn't fit on a poster, it doesn't fit in the show. But I do support Bill Murray's randoms showing up at people's houses and things. Don't do it myself much.
Oh, you should.
So there's one, ghost, which is what I was going for. Two, in a spy, CII.
That's what I was going for.
Three, a black person, which I did not know. Never heard that. That's
before.
Fucked up. You obviously knew that one, Ross.
What? No, I was referring to the ghost one.
Oh, wow. That's really offensive. There you go. So don't use the word spook unless you absolutely and categorically have put in the context of ghost or spy. That's good to know.
I was thinking spy.
I was leading off the ghost stuff with the it stuff earlier.
Yeah, ghost spies.
I was going for a spy because of all the bugging random people.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Can't you be a ghost and a spy?
I think it's
spy
a
ghost.
I think it goes. That's a film franchise that we could sell to Disney.
Spy ghost. Yes. Can we delete that out of the recording so nobody steals it?
No, I think it automatically becomes copyrighted.
Oh, okay, great.
If it gets published as a podcast.
Right, great.
Well, I can't be bothered editing it.
No, I wasn't really expecting it.
Spy Ghost, whose intellectual property is that? Ours. Is that ours? We'll take that.
Could be. I mean, what is this going to be, a sequel to Spy?
It could be a spin-off of Star Wars, because some of those characters become ghosts that can still interact with the world.
Do they become spies?
Well, we could give one a job as a spy.
I don't think spies exist in that world.
There's got to be spies in the Star Wars. But there is.
No.
You got to go, how do you steal the plans to the battleship if you don't spy?
Not spies.
Or
what do you call them? Just the rebellion.
Just the rebellion. What, do you think James Bond is walking around Star Wars?
Yes, he should
That's not a terrible idea, is it?
There needs to be more franchise mashups. It happens in the comic books. James Bond in space in Star Wars. I want to see James Bond trying to flirt with a lady Jedi with all his James Bondness.
I'm tuning out again.
I don't like that at all.
Ross is taking a stand.
I'm taking a stand.
No to James Bond Star Wars.
No Bond.
What if Sean Connery came back as Bond and was a Star Wars Bond.
Sean Connery came back as a Jedi spy.
Jedi spy.
Ghost.
Ghost.
He'd be the perfect person to do it. It's just like an homage to James Bond of the old times.
Do we want Sean Connery around? Do we?
We do.
Do we? He'll probably walk around.
Get him in a robe.
Probably walk around, says that Leia deserves a smack in the mouth.
Ooh, yeah, probably.
Because hell is the type of thing he said and did.
Yes,
and
that's true. But that would be what would be fun is because Bond would finally get what's coming to him. He can't. His ways with the ladies cannot overcome Jedi mind tricks.
No.
Well, maybe. But I have no want in this project. I wash my hands of this. I'm done.
Well, that's, all right. Okay. We'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll speak to my Disney people and
cut him out.
Right, speaking of projects, continuing with changes. Did you do the Fringe Wives Club thing recently?
I did do Fringe Wives Club.
What was it like marrying an entire Fringe festival?
It's more like marrying Tessa Waters and Vicky Falconer and Ro Hudson and Laura Frew from Double Denim. The five of us got together and are the wives. Wives have each other's backs.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're singing songs of Mormonism? Is that what was happening?
No. No, more political than that, and a bit more current.
Mormons are very current. They got that book?
Oh, yes.
They sing about?
It's true, yes. Mormons are, they're even on Broadway these days, so good for them. We did the Fringe Wives Club. It was like a massive feminist hootenanny party. Think feminism, think sequins, think bluegrass. It was great. But now everyone's, fucked off to their respective countries. So
right, yeah. Screw that.
Yeah. So we have to have meetings over Skype or whatever. But I think Tess has settled into New Zealand quite nicely and Vix is touring with the other wives over. We're building wife empire, so they're building they're building, they're touring the old show around England at the moment with New Wives Again.
It's like the Marvel universe.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, there's superheroes.
A new origin story.
Feminist superheroes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then eventually you'll have to do Avengers and all the wives.
That's a great
come
idea.
Come together.
And yeah. We go on for way too long and people complain about it.
No.
Is that it?
No.
Like Endgame?
Endgame
was amazing.
But people complained it went on too long.
I don't listen to those.
Other people are stupid. Because you can binge watch an entire Netflix series, but you can't sit down and watch a 3-hour film.
Exactly. Yeah, we just watched the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood the other day too. Great 3 hours of cinema. And I don't care what anyone says.
What did you think of that 2-hour montage of Brad Pitt trying on hats?
I could watch Brad Pitt in hats for hours.
Yep, clothed or unclothed.
Right, but he takes his clothes off and then he's just got more hats.
Hats, wow.
He's a hat kind of guy.
He's the kind of guy that can make hats work on places other than his head.
Yeah.
Someone has to start trends like that. And if he's going to staple a hat to his chest and start a new movement, then think of all the more opportunities to wear our hats.
What's Brad Pitt ever done to you, hey Ross? What's he ever done bad to you?
Fight Club.
Yeah.
That was a bad thing.
You don't like Fight Club.
Because people can misinterpret it.
That's true.
The wrong people like it.
Yeah, that is true. But the wrong people also like Family Guy and, you know, other misogynistic style shows.
Well.
Take them the wrong way. Take them as an affirmation that their racist, sexist life of shame is actually okayed by some company somewhere making content.
Some people don't understand satire.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, the writers. Hey-o! Hey, I put on Tessa Waters' eyeliner on my face once when she left it at Hungry Jack's at a Comedy Fest opening night. Why doesn't Fringe Fest like me?
Fringe Fest doesn't like you?
Nah.
What is Fringe Fest?
Whatever you want it to be.
Yes, Fringe, we're learning. The key to Fringe is just to keep going back and lose
is
money.
It? Well, is it?
Yes.
Yes, Dave says, well, yes.
Well,
we love Edinburgh.
Yes.
A
do
lot.
Edinburgh, Ross.
Yeah, you should do Edinburgh, Ross.
Edinburgh?
Yeah, there's more people, there's more, like, punters, and there's more people that like weird shit, which, you know.
They seek it out.
Yeah.
They look for it.
They look for it. They're sick of mainstream. They've been doing it for years. They're comedy junkies. They want more.
I don't think I want to help facilitate a comedy junkie's addiction.
Why the hell not? Get them hooked, man. Get them on it.
They're going to be down there scratching their arms looking for some weirdos. And if you don't scratch their itch, someone else will.
Yeah. Take the space, Ross. Take the space.
Nah,
that's what Tessa Waters taught me. Take the space.
Well, if she taught you that, and I once wore her eyeliner, well, maybe there's something to that.
Do you still have her eyeliner?
Yeah. Should I give it back to her?
Don't know what we did with it.
You might be able to clone her because there's not enough Tessa Waters. We could clone Tess and she could have a New Zealand base and a Melbourne base.
That would be great. I'd be happy about that.
Get those wives working in Melbourne again.
Yep. Sounds good.
I think I want to parlay this conversation to the real reason why I got the two little dickheads in.
Oh, gosh. Ooh. Shit.
Because a lot of what you do, there's a lot of joy in it. Like joyful stupidity, all that. Yeah.
Yep. We're like the flaming lips of lo-fi comedy.
Yeah, I always say that. You just need to find your Miley Cyrus and do your Dead Pets album.
Yes.
Ooh, is that what you want us to do?
Do a Dead
Pets. No. No, I just want to say you're joyful, happy comedy. People are like, those two little dickheads.
We think it's the last taboo, Ross.
Yeah, and then you have me over here. I'm doing like really just kind of aggressive, nihilistic type of surrealist comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are two heads of the same coin?
Two sides.
Two sides of
the same head?
And what I want to say is, it ain't working out. No festival wants anything to do with me. I'm trying to be myself, but no one wants me to be myself. So I brought you two on because I need a happiness consultant.
A happiness consultant. Oh.
I've got some bits, and I need to inject some joy into them.
Into the bits, okay?
Right.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Running over a cat.
See that? What I would do with that is not kill a cat. We celebrate cats in our shows.
Kapow, kapow, meow, long live the puss is our motto.
How about a cat running over a car?
Mm.
All right, let me just shut that down. Hold on. You know, if you like cats so much, you do not. You will not like Dave Hughes.
Oh,
is
really?
Is he an anti-cat comic?
Oh, yeah, I went through this last week, but... He punched my cat in the face.
Dave Hughes.
He did not.
He punched my cat in the face.
With laughter?
His fists. Which he calls laughter, which is very confusing.
Have him arrested. Put him on the wall.
Hughesy, I'm shocked and ashamed.
Yeah, I'm outraged. We've gigged with him once, and he seemed like a nice
He did not seem nice like a young cat man. Puncher.
Not so young, though.
Not so young.
So,
plus, his name of his last show was Harry, and he's really stolen that from me.
And the year before, it was Snorkel, which he stole from me. That was my Captain Starlight name. Couldn't believe it. Yeah, he's been thieving off us for years, and now he's going to punch your cat?
So now
it's an outrage.
Same page. We're all on the same page right now.
We're on the same page.
About Dave Hughes.
Yes, put him on the wall.
Yes.
I put him up against the wall.
Freaking shave off your eyebrows, Dave Hughes, and look in the mirror.
Yeah, Hughesy. See, look how it happens when you just mention a cat getting run over. Suddenly the tone shifts.
Yes. You're taking us down into a dark, dark place.
You see, that's what I do, you know? It's just I'm dragging you down to my level.
We're now plotting to kill and sabotage Dave Hughes. I mean, how does this happen?
We were in a lovely...
Squirrel Comedy once wrote of my comedy, no pathos.
No pathos?
Nah, no pathos.
I think pathos is your middle name.
Yeah.
You ooze pathos.
Yeah. You literally ooze it. I can see it coming out of your
I
face
know,
right,
right
now.
I went to the doctor and said, look at me, I'm oozing pathos. And they're saying, no, here's some creams.
Well, I'll tell you, on the fringe circuit, people, one-star reviews are more coveted than three-star reviews.
Yeah, and you've got heaps of one-stars, right?
Because artists are idiots. Otherwise, they wouldn't be
Ross,
honest.
You have to go to Edinburgh. Edinburgh, you'll find your people, and it'll give you trust in your voice because you're like, oh, these people love my work. There is a place for my work. There is like an audience for my work, and I just have to keep going. And Australia, sometimes it's a little bit slower to catch up on the weird stuff.
Right. Giving me a lot to think about.
Mm.
But I also got no dang money.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
So that's another thing.
Yeah. But maybe your podcast will get so huge that people will come.
Right. I'm hoping to get that Marc Maron fame.
Yeah.
Not be very talented, but people know me from a podcast.
Oh, Mark's very talented. Have you watched Glow? Bloody love it. Love him.
But is it talented? Is it good because of him?
Yeah,
or everyone else?
Well, he's a huge part of the show. It's definitely not because of him that it's a great show. But if he was shit, the show would suffer, and it doesn't. It doesn't suffer at his hand. He's a cog in the wheel.
Should I put this down in my happiness notes?
Yes.
Marc Maron.
Yes.
See, that's another thing. That's just, I just shit on everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not going to get you very far in this industry, is it, Dave?
Well, you could do that show. Ross Purdy shits on
everyone.
I did. But then the comedy festival rang up and said, no, don't do this.
Really?
Yeah.
Susan,
did Susan ring you personally?
Susan rang me personally. I said, oh, wow, it's Susan. Suddenly Susan. She hung up on me.
Wow. That's pretty good effort if someone calls you and then hangs up on you.
Yeah.
So you're doing something right.
Yeah, something really wrong right.
Mm-hmm. Who else from the industry rang me?
Token ever get in contact?
Or? Yeah. Token rang me up and I said, oh, I ain't no Token. Then they ran they hung up on me.
Yeah, right. Fuck, Ross, I don't know what to say. It sounds like you're just going around.
That could be a bit on your podcast is getting people to call you and then hang up on you. Like, it's a reverse prank call.
Ooh.
Prank calls have been done to death. But you could do reverse prank calls.
Ding, ding. Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. I want to do that reverse prank call.
Well, bad luck, fella. This is our
idea. Do.
Wow.
What happened there? Did he hang up on
you? I feel like we got a phone call.
But then...
And I was very polite to him, and he hung up on us.
Wow. Well, that's just outrageous. It mustn't...
That really hurts my feelings.
Yeah. Someone's been eating wheat. They're in a bad mood. Someone's grouchy.
Someone's in the...
Do you eat wheat, Ross?
All the time.
Maybe that's what's wrong with you.
Yeah. Gotta start eating chafe.
Have you ever tried going on keto?
I tried. But then I just ended up going on keto.
I was gonna say Casey Kadem does keto and
Casey Kadem?
And his career is said who we were talking about before. Or is he the guy
that
the top 40? The Casey Kadem's top 40.
You don't want to get involved with Casey, Kato, Kalen.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
I'm mixing a witness in the O.J. Simpson trial with an 80s American radio DJ.
This is what you're doing in your brain right now?
My brain. Really good reference points for
but it's so obscure that your own comedy partner and life partner has no idea what you're talking about.
Well, they got the internet. They can look this up on the internet.
This is how I help Dave in his comedy,
this
Ross.
Is my... If I ever audition for SNL, my character's going to be Casey Kadem Kato's top 40.
Whereas I would go for a Mr. and Mrs. Claus look with the two of us, and because it's rooted in reality, but you know that everybody can relate to, but like expand it out into weird.
Hey, speaking of SNL auditions and podcasts, you want to say something that will jeopardize your SNL career if you've got it?
Yeah, we have something on record. Well, we might have already done that with that whole spook thing.
Oh, damn! We did it.
We did it.
Yeah, we've already said something that could potentially be taken out of context.
For real.
And ruin our SNL careers.
Congratulations. You got fired from SNL.
Being over the age of 25 also.
I think that guy deserved to be fired.
Yeah, he seemed, yeah.
He's a jerk.
I didn't listen to anything he did.
I trust Lorne Michaels.
I also trust that they don't do any research.
Sure, NBC. Yeah.
I don't think they listen to everyone's podcast before.
Well,
that's
oodles of podcasts.
Well, I feel like they know exactly what they were getting into, but they only cared when other people cared.
Or maybe they knew that the public would kick off and it actually just gives them a bit of free publicity.
So what you're saying is Shane is just a scapegoat?
Yeah, totally.
He's a cog in the wheel.
Yeah, for a PR machine.
He's the real victim.
Maybe they hired him specifically to fire him to prove that they
totally
listen to the
maybe,
people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should I put these in my notes?
Yes.
SNL conspiracy.
Well, you should hire someone to be like your sidekick on your podcast, then deep dive into their internet history, find something bad about them and fire them.
Mm-hmm.
And
makes
then
you look
you'll
fantastic,
be,
Ross.
You will look great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the next episode.
Holy shit, that's a really fucking sick, complicated, feasible plan for some of the big networks.
Yeah. I think that could work.
All right, here's another bit I've been trying to think of.
We can joy this up for you.
Yeah, okay. So what if I, like, dance on stage?
Good start.
Sounds great.
Something like 90s Euro dance song starts playing.
Okay.
Do some ridiculous dance. Everyone's joyful, having fun. Get some streamers. Put some streamers into the crowd. Get some balloons. Throw some balloons into the crowd.
Flaming lips, loving it.
Yeah. Get some, get a hula hoop. Put it around me. Like, do a little hula hoop dance. and then just pantomime slitting my own throat.
Now, there's one part of that that doesn't scream as joyful as the rest.
Hula hoop, right?
But it does depend on the if you did this bit, the big finale you're talking about there, with a bit of slit throat action. You just need to make sure you've got jokes in the eyes, Ross.
Jokes in the eyes.
Yeah, don't go too method on that stuff. Jokes in the eyes and, you know, maybe then maybe be the blood and then maybe, like, swim in the blood and be the blood's journey post,
morph into being. Yeah. What's the next step? What's the blood's journey?
If you just leave it as the death thing, then people are like, well, you just built me up just to tear me down.
Maybe we get to know the blood and maybe the blood is joyful to have escaped its vessel and getting to go out on its own, and it's an awakening of sorts. We don't hear the blood's point of view very often in comedy.
Hold on, maybe I can flip this around a bit. I slit my throat, but then I'm trying to look for, like, a pad to soak up the blood. But there's that gosh darn tax.
Well, since
boom, satire.
Now you're making a political point that I think most people are going to get behind. And that's powerful stuff. And I think it's powerful for a man to be fighting for female rights and ridiculous taxations on the female body.
I mean, finally.
I think if this is something... I could see this at the gala.
You could see this at the gala, yeah. I think you should definitely slit your throat and get a pad and riot over the tax and submit that to the gala. Susan will love it.
Good, I need to get back into good books.
Just make sure you use Tom's organic.
Yeah, you want to go organic.
100% cotton.
Recycled. No, I'm all about 98% cotton. That extra 2%, I live on the edge.
Well, it's not a vagina, so, I mean, do what you like.
If I can't live on the edge of my comedy, I live on the edge and how I soak up the blood.
Well, if you're going to cut your throat, you're going to be there some edge involved.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of edge. Edgy.
But... it's making a point.
Points?
Yeah.
Points matter. Not on...
The Whose Line?
Whose Line. Points don't matter.
No.
I don't know if I'm into points so much unless I'm... Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're...
We're kind of pointless.
We're kind of pointless in our comedy.
Yeah.
And,
what? You can't be pointless.
No.
You got to have purpose.
No, I think being... We're quite pointless on purpose.
What?
Purposeful point.
Yeah, because there is the point there, though. I mean, you can't not have a point, but just by being pointless, there is a point of, you know, people actually just not always having to be reminded about the points all the time and actually having some joy in their life for a change, because the world's pretty fucked up right now.
Yeah. There's some great shows that deal with big issues.
Yeah.
We're happy to just entertain for now.
You don't have to be the next Hannah Gadsby.
I want to be the next Hannah Gadsby. I want to deal with the big issues.
You can. If you've got issues you need to take on, Ross, there are issues out there that your point of view could be welcomed.
Like?
Well, maybe the suicidal tendencies is something.
Yeah, it is a big issue. The suicide rate in this country is out of control.
Yeah.
Suicide rate of our troops is sickening. There's some stories that need to be told.
But is that what you want your point to be? Or are you just trying to shock the audience into atrophy?
Right. I think up to this point, I've been trying to shock them into atrophy and then to call up the festival and say, that was not a safe space at all. He touched my shoulder and yelled. Didn't like that at all. Then very next year, they call up venue that has me and says, this guy got complaints, you so sure?
Well,
oh, wow. We're really unpacking.
Yeah, so
unpacking some big stuff here today, Dave.
You think that's real? Out of all the things I've said today, you think that's real? Because it is.
Ross, I think what you need to do, this is the God's honest truth. And not that I believe in God.
I do.
The dog's honest truth is that I think you should be doing musical comedy.
Yes.
You can do and say whatever you like if you put a tune to it and a ukulele.
Or a mandolin.
Mandolin. Banjolele. Go crazy.
Triangle.
Triangle. Triangle's your instrument. Go for it.
I'll do a triangle.
I could really see you breaking down the musical comedy barriers. You and Ross Purdy and his triangle. Magical triangle. Dangerous triangle?
No, I am trying to be more...
Nihilistic triangle.
I'm trying to be more joyful, so I guess I should... Magical, I guess.
Have you watched The Big Lebowski?
Yes.
The nihilists in that were quite effective.
So what you're saying is...
One of them was played by Flea. And I always enjoy when Flea gets a chance to act.
Yeah, you don't see enough Fleas in acting. They just hurt dogs all the time.
He was great in the Back to the Future sequels, and he was great as a German nihilist. He's good in groups.
Right. That's what they're often known for.
Yes.
Right, so I think we've gotten something good out of this. Next show, Ross Purdy and his magical triangle.
Yes. That's a great idea.
And what if I just kind of just wrote a kid's show?
No, I think one step at a time. Stick with being happy for adults before you venture into life.
No.
Ross Purdy happy for adults.
Happy Ross Purdy happy for adults.
No. See, the thing is, I write a kid's show, but then I just perform it for adults who would know the difference.
That's what we do.
What we do.
Yeah, it's perfect. That's the key.
Maybe add a couple F-bombs so people are like, this isn't mature.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it in your copy. Kids show, ages 16 plus. Yeah. Boom. Now you're making a statement.
Hold on. For kids only. And not kids. More like the type of kids that were in the movie Kids. So the type of kids that were doing the drugs and sleeping with each other and it scared the parents.
Where did we go from?
Movie that Kids. Although that one kid in Kids was great in The Wire. And Chloe Shalani is making a comeback. So who knows?
Chloe making a comeback. That one kid that went up to be The Wire guy. Very good.
Shalani.
Played a junkie.
Shalani. I like Shalani. To say that word.
Shalani.
Shalani. Hey, Shalani.
Hey, little Shalani.
Hey, little Shalani. What a great name.
It's fine.
Ross Purdy, fine with Shalani.
I don't know. I need to work my way up to being fine with
Ross
Shalani.
Ross Purdy, I need to work my way up to being fine.
These are great titles. We've got like a dozen shows here. The next 12 years of
Comfast. You know what it is? It's what Ross said at the beginning. It's because if you put Ross Purdy in the title before the statement, it works. You've got a great comedy name.
Right. You're right. A woman at an STI clinic clubbing that is my name just before.
Ross Purdy, a woman at an STI clinic.
See, I thought, maybe there's nothing to that. She's just giving me a compliment. But then I came here today.
Good comedy name. Strong comedy name. Ross. Purdy.
So many funny Rosses.
Yeah.
Purdy, you're the only one.
Purdy.
Because it sounds like pretty.
Ross Purdy.
Sounds a little bird-like.
Ross Purdy.
It sounds like a southerner saying pretty. I have not gotten that enough.
Ross Purdy. Hey, Ross Purdy. You want to help me shave my legs? It's been so long.
Shave my legs, little Purdy.
I don't shave my legs, is why I'm saying it. But Ross Purdy.
Ross Purdy,
why do you...
Southerner's legs.
Ross Purdy, please play me some of that triangle. Please, Ross Purdy.
Magic triangle, Ross Purdy.
So I don't know if people have realized, but two Southern bells have just crashed into this studio.
Ding, ding, ding.
Play me your magic triangle.
I think we've gone on now. The Southern Bells want to do their Southern Bell podcast.
Recognize you from down at the STI clinic,
ain't
Ross.
That Ross Purdy from the STI clinic? I knew it was him and his magic triangle. I'm just going to get him to put that around my neck in a magical slit. Woohoo!
Hey, I'm clean. I'm clean, baby. But I'm also risky. Because I live life on the edge.
He lives on the edge, Purdy.
Ross Purdy.
Who lives on the edge.
Well, if it isn't Ross Purdy, that little fucker.
If you want to get that good southern money, you need to take up the stick with bottle caps attached to it.
Hey, Ross Purdy, the first ghost spy we've ever seen.
Ghost spying in the south, southern gothic style.
All right, now it's time for the Southern Belle podcast.
Oh, hi there, everybody. Oh, here you are tuning in. It's me, Dove Tech and Chamonix Nougatimity. And we're here with our special guest today. Tell us about him, Dove Tech.
His name is Ross Purdy, and he's the purtiest thing that we ever did find down at Mama's home baked oven cooking.
He's more purty than an onion grass mixed with a cat on the road.
He's like a bowl of grits that's got butter on top.
He's like some bacon with a French crepe, which is a twist on our normal hot cake.
He's like collard greens that taste as good as they smell.
Yummy.
Ross Purdy. Welcome to the studio, Miss.
Come on, Ross Purdy. Say hello now.
Bye, little Purdy. Ain't you a purty little thing? Want to come inside my little podcast box and say hello?
Now, it's weird when one podcast ends and it just becomes a completely different podcast. And I'm stuck around, too. That's the weird thing. And I'm the guest now. The guest becomes the host.
Now, Ross Purdy, you don't have to do exposition. We'll take care of that in this here podcast.
I feel like I need to explain what's going on, though, for the listeners who probably aren't keeping up.
Well, Ross Purdy, why would you say that of your listeners? They are intelligent souls. They've been listening to you because you are one of the masters of intellectual comedy and nihilism. And if they don't understand us, well, then they don't understand you. You
can always respect the intelligence of listeners.
They probably watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, down watching the Philadelphia. They know exactly which characters of Philadelphia down there in the Sunnyland day out down at Patty's Pub.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding, indeed.
There's not enough Southern characters and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Do you think that they've got a problem with the South?
No, I think no.
Clearly they do. All right, well, that old podcast has now become the podcast that it was before.
It's so meta. It's so meta.
It's just so meta.
I feel like I brought you guys on to make me more accessible, you know, more happy. And then what we've gotten instead is just more, like, upper own asses.
Let's just with meta-ness. Right up this ass and see what's inside here.
I'm a ghost cat and I'm a spider. I'm going to go up Ross Purdy's ass and find out what he had for breakfast.
What is, let's, that's.
I haven't eaten for 7 weeks.
Ross Purdy's got the colon of someone who doesn't eat anymore.
He's saving up for Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Good cooking in Edinburgh.
Not.
Speaking of butts, you got anything to plug?
What are we plugging these days?
That's a really great joke.
Do you have a plug song? Some of the shows I've been listening to lately have a plug song.
Like Comedy Bing Bong?
Yeah, Bing Bong.
We've got stuff to plug.
We've got stuff to plug.
Yeah.
For the month of December and beyond, because this is where time it is now.
Yeah, we've got stuff to plug. We can't talk about We've got an embargo on one thing.
One of the fringes we'll be doing.
Embargo.
Build that embargo. Build that embargo.
But I don't think Comedy Festival does embargo.
No, they don't care.
They don't care.
They only care if you touch someone's shoulder and yell.
All the big people are probably on sale, to be honest.
We'll be at Comedy Festival.
Yeah, the Imperial.
Imperial, that's where you can normally find us.
Two little dickheads, kapow.
Kapow.
Yeah.
We'll be in a town in the, not in Western Australia, but in between here and then.
Yep.
At some point.
Yep.
You can hear us and you can find the Spoon Monkeys podcast.
Yeah, this is a podcast we do with Hallie Goodman.
Promise to do it
every week. Well, she's not here right now, so I don't care.
Three episodes in
this is what you need to stop doing, Ross.
see us out on the traps. Oh, improv at the Tickle Pit on Sunday nights at the Kodiak on Brunswick Street. You can find me there sometimes.
Yeah. You can follow us on the socials at Two Little D-Heads.
Two Little D-Heads, because just like you, Ross, we've been censored by the man.
Yeah.
Damn. Mm-hmm. So sick of that guy.
Accessible us. I know.
Right.
Good old accessible us. Lovely, joyful us. And Zuckerberg says, nah, I'll take a slice out of their pie.
Yeah.
Well, Zuckerberg hates joy. We all know that.
We do know that.
You know, you can't get a hashtag. You can't hashtag dickheads in Australia. It deletes the hashtag. That hashtag is removed from the public sphere of, if you Google it, you cannot find one, and yet you can look up cunt smasher and other such hashtags.
They're allowed. My theory is Zuckerberg got called a dickhead a lot as a kid.
It's fine in the UK.
UK.
You can look it up in the UK, but not in Australia.
Maybe he can get back in his good books by helping him get back to his roots. Make Facebook what it was originally.
Facebook.
A MySpace?
No. A place to evaluate the physical attractiveness of women.
Yes.
Ew.
That's what it first was.
Ew.
He stole people's photos from their university websites and had all the people rate him.
Are you freaking serious? That's what it originally started?
That's how it started.
Oh, my God.
He was a bit of angry man after his girlfriend.
He's an incel.
He's an incel.
He was the original Microsoft incel.
Wow. I didn't know that. I feel like I could vomit.
I'm very scared if Mark Zuckerberg goes sees Dr. Brown, because then he can go off and start shooting up places.
Oof. I don't know if Zuckerberg's a shooter. He's more at steal all our data, sell it to the government. And
he's more stealth.
Yeah. So he likes to destroy the fabric of society on a large scale.
Yes.
Right. Large scale.
Social terrorism.
Large scale censorship.
Data terrorism.
I mean, I hope he doesn't get wind of what we're saying right now. Just stop this podcast midway through.
He's got his computers listening in on this podcast. He's gonna laugh at the Southern Bells, but he's gonna.